You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 13th of July 2020 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, I just want to revisit a couple of news stories from last week before we get into our commentary for today. On Friday, I was talking with Grandpa Lampshade about Sherlock Holmes and his politically incorrect descriptions of Negroes from 100 years ago. And I was talking about the fact that just in my lifetime, the words have changed. The words that are deemed as acceptable to use for people of colour. And there can only really be one reason for this, which is to try and catch white people out, to try and trip white people up. And one way that we can see this is that the word Negro is still used by the authorities in quite a few instances. I asked Grandpa over the weekend if he could remember the names of any of the organizations in America that still use the word. And just off the top of his head, he could remember three of them. Now, obviously, there must be more than that. But we do have the National Council of Negro Women, the United Negro Improvement Association and African Communities League, and of course the United Negro College Fund. So how can we be told that this word is somehow an offensive word when it's used for these organizations which are set up to further the needs of Negroes, basically? They are exactly what they suggest that they are, and yet we're not supposed to use that word today. And to be quite honest, you would imagine that, you know, black people would be quite offended at that, that the name that they've always had is somehow seen as a word that we're not supposed to use anymore. And the fact that we see it used by these authorities, it just makes a mockery of the fact that we have these words that we're no longer supposed to be using, doesn't it? It just says that the whole point of that and the political correctness with this terminology is to use it to try and catch white people out. I also want to look back at the new Archbishop of York that we spoke about last week as well, Stephen Cottrell, who was saying that Jesus is black, which of course wasn't true. Over the weekend, he said it was his belief that God is calling us to be a church of glorious and profligate diversity. Profligate diversity. What does the word profligate mean? It means someone who behaves in a way that is morally wrong, or who spends and wastes a lot of money. And the example from the dictionary is, he is a drunkard and a profligate. Maybe the Archbishop was slipping up there. Maybe he said the wrong word. But it's quite truthful, isn't it? Diversity is morally wrong. It goes against God's law. It goes against natural law. Of course, natural diversity, which would mean that we kept the different races and the different nations apart, that's real diversity. But the diversity that this Archbishop supports is not diversity, it's division. It's lots of different peoples all mixed together in one territory where you are guaranteed to cause friction by that, and you are also guaranteed to cause interbreeding, which will end up destroying all of that glorious natural diversity. Well, now let's get into a news story that I wanted to get into today, and it seems that the actors are now finally starting to wake up to the anti-white behaviour from their industry, particularly from Hollywood. And this isn't an article that's coming from a nationalist website. This is an article that actually comes from the Daily Mail. And it's interesting because it mentions anti-whiteism in it. And I think this is the first time that I've actually seen mainstream media using that term without claiming it's white supremacist or racist or anything like that. They say a revolution is underway. White actors are being fired. Edicts from studio bosses make it clear that only minorities, racial and sexual, can be given jobs. Now, this has been going on for a long time. Obviously, we've been talking about this for years here at Radio Albion, but it's now only just being pointed out that this is anti-white. This is racism against white people. This is discrimination against white people. And this is the first time, I think, that it's really being pointed out as that in the mainstream media. A new wave of what has been termed by some as anti-white prejudice is causing writers, directors, and producers to fear they will never work again. One described the current atmosphere as more toxic than Chernobyl, with leading actors afraid to speak out amidst concerns that they will be labelled racist. The first sign came with one of the most powerful black directors in Hollywood, Oscar-winning Jordan Peele, the man behind box office hits such as Get Out and Us, who stated in public that he did not want to hire a leading man who was white. You imagine a white director standing up in public and saying, I don't want to hire a leading man who is black. He would be jailed for racism. He would be jailed for discrimination. He would never be able to work again. It's quite clear that what we have here are two conflicting ways of dealing with things. We have cognitive dissonance. We have things that it's okay for black people to say that it's not okay for white people to say, and trying to hold both those views in your head and claim that both are somehow okay leads to neurosis. He says, I don't see myself casting a white dude as the lead in my movie. Not that I don't like white dudes, but I've seen that movie before. So he's bored of seeing white people in movies. How does he think we feel seeing black people everywhere? We've just been told that in the BBC, black people make up 20% of everything that we see on the BBC. And they only make up, something like 4% of the population. 15% of the population in Britain is non-white, but they're not all black. And yet 20% of what we see on the BBC are black. I would suggest that at least 50% of all the advertisements that we see feature a black love interest in there alongside a white person promoting miscegenation. And they're not the target audience. Black people aren't the target audience because they're not the audience that has the most money. And you would imagine that advertisements were targeted at the people that are going to be spending the money. So quite clearly, these adverts have an ulterior purpose, don't they? They have an ulterior purpose. They're not just there to sell products. They're there to sell an ideology. And this becomes very clear with the Gillette advert, of course, which was trying to sell this emasculated, feminist, anti-male ideology, which ended up losing them sales. We see the same thing with the Swedish Airlines advert that ended up insulting all the Swedes and was even spoken about in the parliament there. Quite clearly, it wasn't going to encourage people to fly the Swedish airline. It was going to encourage people to see Swedes as never having created anything of their own and having stolen everything they had from non-whites. That was the narrative that the Swedish airline was pushing. So this black director is black producer, black director. He's not happy about seeing white people in movies. And as one studio executive responded privately, if a white director said that about hiring a black actor, their career would be over in a heartbeat. And few doubt it. Speaking on condition of anonymity, The executive confirmed that the climate is now toxic for any white, middle-aged man in show business. Their careers are pretty much over. I mean, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, he's saying that that's everyone. Anyone that's white or middle-aged and they're in show business, they are not going to get hired. I mean, this is probably more serious than most other industries, I would suggest, really. And they've got nobody else to blame but themselves, of course. It's been Hollywood and the mainstream media, the movies, the TVs that have been pushing this. And now they are the ones that are most going to be suffering from it. The source continued, "We are only hiring people of colour, women, or LGBT to write, star, produce, operate the cameras, work in craft services. If you are white, you can't speak out, because you will instantly be branded racist or condemned for white privilege." And whose fault is that? Well, it's the fault of the mainstream media. Again, it's the fault of newspapers like the Daily Mail. The Daily Mail might produce news stories that might tell us about the high rate of immigration, the high rate of non-white immigration that comes into Britain. But then when somebody like Patriotic Alternative speaks up about it, then they'll call them racist, they'll call them white supremacist, they will attack them. And what we have here is this source complaining about this and the Daily Mail reporting on them sympathetically, but they won't report sympathetically on anyone that's actually trying to do anything about this. This is what's so twisted about the mainstream media. The left think that the Daily Express and the Daily Mail and the Telegraph that they're right wing, but they're not. They're just a cover for it, because they attack anybody that speaks up, anybody that wants to do anything about the problems that they're actually highlighting. The source continued, "The pendulum has swung so far. Everyone is paralyzed with fear by the idea anything you say could be misinterpreted and your career ended instantly. There are a lot of hushed conversations going on, but publicly, everyone is desperate to be seen to be promoting diversity and too terrified to speak out. It's imploding, a total meltdown." So what does this imply? Well, it implies that these celebrities that are pledging all their support for Black Lives Matter and falling over themselves to castigate their own people, in actual fact, that is not their true thoughts. They are terrified that if they don't do that, they're going to lose their jobs and they're not going to be able to work any longer. The latest buzzword in Tinseltown is BIPOC, an acronym for Black, Indigenous and People of Colour. Well, I always thought that POC covered Black and Indigenous people as well. Are Black people not people of colour? Black people not indigenous to Africa? I guess they just, as I said earlier at the beginning of this, they just like changing the name for people all the time. Perhaps instead of referring to them as people of colour, next year we will have to call them Black Indigenous and people of colour. And if we just call them people of colour, that will be then classed as racist. Another word is menemy, which means a white male enemy of the diversity movement. And I guess what they're saying there, it says menemy, it doesn't actually have a W in it at all, but quite clearly that is inferred that it's only white people that can actually be the enemies of the diversity movement. They tried to say this is a gender thing, but really it's just white males that they're against. He says everyone wants to be able to check all the boxes for each new hire. And the guy saying this is actually an Oscar-nominated insider. Directors normally have a say about who is in their project. Not anymore. It is all about BIPOC hiring. And it's coming directly from the heads of the studios who know that their jobs are on the line. White, middle-aged men are collateral damage. They are the menemy. And he's talking about this coming down from the heads of the studios who know that their jobs are on the line if they don't do this. So is he saying that the heads of these studios, they are also terrified that they're no longer going to be running the studio? Well, who is it that owns the studios then? And of course, we have had the Jews in the past, or representatives of the Jews, talking about how they run Hollywood. And there's a whole book about how they took over Hollywood, and it's an empire of their own. I believe the book is called An Empire of Their Own. So perhaps that's where this is all coming from. Or is it just a suicidal impulse from these white movie producers? An actor in his 50s who has worked on some of the biggest shows of the past 20 years described how during a recent audition, the casting director told him he was perfect for the part, but that they had been instructed to hire a person of colour for the role. "I get it. I really do," the actor said. Imagine that, being told that you can't have the job because of what race you are, and the only people that they want for the jobs now are blacks. Is that because black people have shown that they excel at filmmaking? Have they ever shown that they excel at acting? That they're fantastic actors? They have a long, centuries long tradition of putting on stage productions in their heritage? They don't at all, of course. This is all just about pandering to non-whites. Such is the culture shift that one studio is now preparing to shoot a film with an all-black cast and crew, a project which should normally give cause for celebration. Now, of course, I would look at something like that and say, yeah, really? Don't you think there should be somebody that might be needed to be overlooking that? Would, say, a cast and crew that all had an average IQ of 70, do you think they're going to be able to make a particularly good film? And I'm not saying that all the people in making this movie will have an IQ of 70. There might very well be some that are a little bit brighter than that, but that is likely to happen when you have an all-black cast and crew. The average IQ of black Africans is 75, and the average IQ of American blacks is 85. And you would imagine that if you wanted somebody to be making the best movies, that they would have an IQ of 120 or above. I mean, Jews are known for having a particularly high IQ, aren't they? So you would imagine that this movie, that they would talk about how it's going to be full of blacks, and either it would actually have white people involved in it secretly, or the movie would just not be any good. And interestingly enough, what they decided to go with here is to actually hire a white woman to oversee it. When a white woman, a highly respected executive, was tasked to oversee the production on location, she was told she would receive no on-screen credits. So they're going to keep it secret that this white woman is involved. A source from the studio behind the project said, "The kids making the film are fresh, great, new talent, but they are kids. None of them are over 25. Most of them have never been on a movie set, let alone a movie which costs $20 million. They don't know the basics about how union rules work, or about taking regular breaks, or how long you can shoot in a day." And I guess this is just, you know, this is a politically correct way of saying, well, you know, this is black people here that we're leaving to make this movie on their own. They say, "We need to protect our investment and make sure they get up on time and shoot what they need. Otherwise, we could have a multi-million dollar train out of control." Isn't that a little bit racist in inferring here that black people can't get up on time? And this is the problem with all of this. When you speak the truth, when you speak the facts, you get accused of being racist. And that doesn't help anyone. That doesn't help black people to be blaming other people for things which are out of their control, and certainly not in the control of white people. It's certainly not in our powers to improve black people so that they have better life outcomes. It's not in our power to do that, and it's not in their power to change the way that they are. They have certain things that they're good at and certain things that they're not good at. And if you tell them that they're just as good as us at these at things which they're not going to be very good at, and they blame us for this. There's nothing we can do about it to improve their lot, and you just end up with everybody unhappy, which is the situation that we have now. The black people that are involved in doing the acting and doing these movies, they think they're being discriminated against. And white people that are doing these movies, they are being discriminated against. They continue, "We are sending this woman who is brilliant to run things on the ground, but she won't get any title credit. People won't admit it. They can't admit it. But reverse racism is definitely going on." I mean, just that term itself, reverse racism. I mean, that implies that racism can only be something that white people can be guilty of, doesn't it? Because you have to call it reverse racism when it's racism against whites. And racism is racism, and it wouldn't exist if we didn't have multicultural societies. If we didn't try and force everybody to live together in one territory, there would be no racism. It would solve all the problems, or it would solve the main problem that the modern world seems to have. And if you would believe what the media tells us, there are probably more column inches devoted to racism, more resources devoted to fighting racism than anything else in the modern world. And none of it would be required if we just had separate territories. And this is what a lot of these black groups are calling for, you know. They're calling for separate territories. I saw a group the other day, the NFAC, the Not Effing Around Coalition, this armed protest group, and they are calling for an area of their own. They said a country like Texas would do. Well, I mean, surely it couldn't be that difficult to find an area in America that already is majority black, Detroit, Chicago, Baltimore, and say to them, well, you can all go there. And you wouldn't have to cut them off entirely from welfare or whatever. You know, you could still help them out. We could do what we could to help them out. But just let them have their own place to go. And let us have our own place to go and see how it works out. Because, you know, you can just guarantee that life is going to be better for each of us if we were to be living separate. He continues here, "You could argue that it's a good thing, that this swinging of the pendulum so far the other way is only fair after years of white privilege." So this guy believes in this myth of white privilege, that we have what we have just, I don't know, just because of the roll of the dice, not because we've got where we are, because we worked hard for it and our ancestors scrimped and sacrificed and did all that they could for the next generation, rather than doing all that they could out of selfish desire to help themselves. That's why we have what we have, is because in the past we had a sense of being part of a continuing line of people. We had a sense of being a people, a sense of being a nation. And even if we weren't going to benefit from what we are doing today, our descendants were going to benefit from it. That was the whole point of doing things. And today, nobody would do anything if they weren't going to be benefiting from it. The whole culture that we have today is all about selfishness. And this is what it has led to. Continuing, he says, "But at what cost? Surely it is best for everyone if people are hired on the basis of talent and ability. I can tell you now, we are hiring people based purely on their ethnicity, gender, and social media profiles." And of course, people should be employed because they have the best qualifications, not because of anything to do with race or gender. I mean, this is what we've always been told is what racism is employing people just based on the color of their skin, as they say. And yet that is exactly what is going on now. And people just seem blind to it. Well, at least these actors now seem to be waking up to it. I think the general public is waking up to this. I mean, that is the positive thing about this and all these Black Lives Matter protests is that it is waking up the general public to the fact that nationalists have been correct all this time. And when we have been warning about this, that this is what was coming around the corner. He says, if you are brown and female and gay, then come on in. We're all getting diversity training. We're walking on eggshells during every Zoom meeting. It's got to the point where if there is a person of colour in the meeting, we can't hang up before they do, for fear of it being considered offensive. You know, I saw a programme on the BBC News Channel over the weekend, and they had this Chinese lady on there, and she was claiming it was racist when people asked her where she came from. And this woman was in America, and she considered it racist if people considered her to be Chinese because she was Chinese American. How are they supposed to know she's Chinese American? She looks Chinese, and yet she considered it offensive to say for people to assume that she was Chinese. And this is the nonsense that we have actually got to now, where people take offense at just about everything. They've been taught to. They've been told that if they take offence at things, they'll be rewarded for it. One film editor who did dare to speak out has seen his career all but destroyed. Nathan Lee Bush, who has shot commercials for corporations such as Budweiser and Nike, criticised a post on a private Facebook group which read, "I need an editor. Looking for black union editors." Imagine that. They've got their own union, their own black union. What happened when we had a white student union that was accused of white supremacism, that was accused of racism? But it's perfectly fine for black people to set up their own unions. Why do we have this double standard? Why do we allow this double standard to happen? How did we allow this to happen? Isn't it about time that we change this? Isn't it about time that we had white people speaking up for whites? If we're going to have multicultural societies, we have to have white people speaking up for whites. And this attacking us all the time and calling us racist when we do, eventually this word racist is just going to have no power. It's going to lose all its power. It is losing all its power now, thankfully, because it's just a very, very natural, instinctive thing to stand up for your own people. And I was reading a Simon Shepherd essay the other day, and he just calls it ethnocentric. That's what we are. We are ethnocentrics because we think whites should stand up for other whites. What is so wrong in that? Black people stand up for blacks, Jews stand up for Jews. Why can't white people speak up for whites? Bush, who is white, described the advert as anti-white racism and wrote, "Look what we're being asked to tolerate. The people openly and proudly practicing racism are the ones calling everyone else racist to shut them down. And anyone who dares to speak up is cancelled. Their livelihood and their dreams are stripped from them by a baying mob." Very truthful. But voicing his concerns proved disastrous. One of Bush's main clients, the US restaurant chain Panera Bread, vowed never to work with him again. And Bush has since been forced to apologise. So unfortunately, this guy had to back down. But you can understand why he had to back down, because he's trying to keep his job. He's trying to keep his livelihood, because he's going to lose his livelihood for pointing out that it's racist to say that you're just looking for a black person to employ. We can't say we want to employ white people. We can't put an advert up saying we want only white people to work in this shop. We want only white people to live in this house. And yet, nowadays, it's perfectly fine to say only black people can apply for this. Only black people can live in these houses, even in the Section 8 housing that they build in America. One Emmy Award nominated white writer said, "I have never known people so fearful. Houses are being put up for sale. People are moving out because even when things get back to normal after the pandemic, there is going to be no work." So, not just with this coronavirus thing, but because of this Black Lives Matter thing, and even before that. But who can they really blame for this but themselves? It's Hollywood that's pushed these ideas and normalized these ideas, and now it's Hollywood that is really feeling the backlash. And according to these people, I mean, it's all of them. It's all the white people that are in Hollywood that are terrified for their jobs. I mean, we've talked about how the police are only asking for non-whites in some areas, how the firemen are only asking for non-whites in some areas, but it's not the whole industry. I mean, it's just one part of the country that have put these adverts up, or the BBC have asked for one scriptwriter that is non-white. But this is the whole industry. This is the whole Hollywood industry where white people are now fearful. It's about fairness, another writer said. I have spent the past 3 years mentoring young black writers, and now I'm out of a job. And it's nothing to do with my abilities as a writer. People think of Hollywood as a place where dreams come true, but for people like me, it's turned into a nightmare. Well, some might say that that's his just rewards, isn't it? He's been mentoring these young black writers, and now they're going to take over his job. Well, maybe he should have stood up and spoken up about this when he was told that he had to be mentoring these young black writers. Maybe he should have said, well, hang on a minute. Can't they mentor their own young black writers? It's like when your boss gets you to train up somebody and then eventually you realize they're being trained up to replace you. And that's what's going on here, isn't it? All these Hollywood directors and scriptwriters, they're being told that they have to mentor these black and minority ethnics, and then they're going to be pushed out once they have. And really, it serves them right for going along with this and not speaking up about it. And this guy Bush that backed down and apologized, I bet he still doesn't have any work coming in. He really should have refused to apologize, because then maybe more people would have spoken up about this and said, look, this is not on. You can't have racial politics for black and minority ethnics, but not racial politics for whites. You can't have them advocating for themselves and not allow us to advocate for ourselves. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.